from KSRO, KSRO.com, and the KSRO app, available for download at the App Store and Google Play. This is continuing coverage of the coronavirus emergency.
Good afternoon. I am Michelle Marquis here in the KSRO studio and here to give you an update on Sunday about how the coronavirus is impacting Sonoma County. And joining me now on the KSRO live line is Sonoma County Supervisor David Rabbit. Thank you so much for joining us today, Supervisor. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about the new shelter-in-place order that was issued on Friday. How is it looser than the previous order?
Well, it allows a couple more things to happen. Construction, I think, is the biggest one, both new residential and new commercial, so all those workers can get back to work. It's an outdoor activity. It's relatively risk-free in that workers are typically further apart from one another. So happy to see that because there's a lot of jobs dependent upon the construction industry in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. Some clarification on real estate showings. Florists, a big one for Mother's Day coming up, they're allowed to operate. And, while they do have some drop-in business, the majority of that is through the telephone or internet and through deliveries where you don't see very many people. So we're happy about that one. We're just, and of course, parks, which was the last Wednesday, just moving forward incrementally, smartly, and making sure that that we can get things open as quickly as is safe.
Now, the current order, the way it was worded, has no end to it. Psychologically, this can be really tough to handle. How is the county helping people who are having a hard time dealing with this mentally?
Yeah, we wanted to put a preamble in there to let people know why that actually is a good thing and not a negative thing. The previous orders had end dates, but really we had no idea at that particular date what the circumstances were going to be and whether or not people were really truly going to get back to work on that date. Mm-hmm. You saw in this last order that expired, expired May 3rd, that some businesses were planning to open May 4th because the order was going to expire, not knowing there was going to be another order coming forward.
Okay.
So the reality was those dates were just kind of set there. Didn't really mean much because no one could predict the future, what was going to happen on that date. By not having a date, we follow in line with what the state of California has done. And I think it makes us a little more nimble. And as Dr. May says, told us, there's about a two-week incubation period to kind of understand through the numbers out there what would happen. So 2 weeks from Monday, we'll know the consequences of opening parks, opening construction. Even the florists, will kind of know the additional human-to-human contact that's out there. And if the numbers change significantly, we can, ratchet it down. But hopefully, if things stay the same, we can move again to loosen the restrictions. So I think actually it gives us a little more flexibility and we can be more nimble. What's true, the last couple of orders have been, if we put an end date on it, what was guaranteed was nothing would change until we reached the end date. So by having this kind of open-ended order, we could move forward a little quicker. And I think the county is really working very diligently on this reopening framework, getting businesses ready, letting them know what they need to do, and giving them the time to prepare because it's going to be with us for quite a while. Business is certainly going to be operating in a different way. For the near future, at least until there's a vaccine.
And what kinds of things is the county doing to help businesses prepare now as we start to sort of have this slowly ramped up loosening of the shelter-in-place order?
Sure. We put out a kind of a business protocol list of things that, it's three overall tenets to control the spread. It's the number of contacts that you come in contact with. It's the proximity and the duration. So if you're a business, think of like a movie theater, people are seating closer together for a longer period of time with a large number of people. That's probably very high risk. And that's why mass gatherings are kind of that last thing to be relaxed. But there's a lot of things before that. And then there's mitigations that you can take within those three overall broad categories to really try to make your business as safe as possible. Whether it's plexiglass screens at the cashiers, the certainly the wiping down and the disinfecting of, whether they're ATM points or pay point machines or those kind of things after each and every customer, things that really give people confidence and obviously control the spread as well of any virus that's out there. So we're giving all that information to the businesses. What's true, though, too, is the businesses know how their business operates the best. And while we want to give them the overall arching, here's what we really want you to concentrate on, how you do that, they're going to have to plan themselves, mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about manufacturing or different kind of industrial type work that, if the county were to put restrictions or study how they do their business, it would take forever. And this way we can really get them to put in their best management practices. And with every business that I've talked to, there's an overwhelming desire to do that because they want to protect their own employees, they want to protect their customers, and they want to let their customers know that this is a safe place to come and purchase something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I heard Governor Newsom this week mentioning that there may be regional guidelines coming soon for California. Have you heard anything about these regional guidelines and what they might look like?
I have, and it's been a big topic of conversation as well, as you can imagine. And then it becomes a question for Sonoma County, what region are we? The six counties in the Bay Area that came out first with the first health order included the usually there's nine Bay Area counties, mm-hmm. but there were six that came together, and it was all but the three northernmost counties, which tells me that initially they did not think that we were part of their region, and now I'm wondering if we should think that we are part of their region. And I think it really comes in looking at the numbers, and we're certainly let the health officials kind of give us their opinion on that and how that goes forward. If you look at, even Marin through Sonoma to Napa to Solano to Mendocino, that kind of northern part of the Bay Area, that could be one region. Mm-hmm. We've been really pushing hard at the state level to change the kind of paradigm of essential and non-essential, which is really set up by the federal government and doesn't necessarily talk about the level of risk within any activity or occupation. Mm-hmm. It just says that this business is essential going forward. This one is not. And even though the ones that are not might be able to be performed in a very low risk way. Mm-hmm. And so we're really pushing to make sure that that they move in that direction. And they're receptive to it, I believe. They talk about safe, less safe, which is fine, same thing. But I think it's really kind of, there's a lot of people that are overwhelmed and try to how to move forward. But the quicker we can get there, I believe that we can get more people back to work, and we can do it in a way that really protects the public health going forward.
Now, what about protests? I did see that there was a gathering in Courthouse Square in Santa Rosa yesterday. Are you seeing any other protests?
Well, we're certainly hearing a lot of frustration, and I think that's understandable. What's true is, we have a health emergency and we have this financial emergency. And typically what's good for public health, well, not typically, what's good for public health is horrible for business. That's just, and business needs to adapt, but there's no business out there that hasn't taken a financial hit. Right. And there are a lot of businesses that have taken the brunt of the shelter in place, and it's really unfortunate. And a lot of the smaller locally owned businesses have really are really fragile, and they've really taken the brunt of the order as well. And so what we're trying to do, that's why I think the risk-based approach, there's no reason that for a while there you couldn't buy a plant at a locally owned nursery, but you could at a bigger box store. Why? Because they sold other goods that were considered essential, and I think we need to kind of just look at things a little differently. But I certainly understand the frustration. I think that, there's many of us who share that. But at the same time, you cannot deny the public health crisis, and we have to do it right. And we have to make sure that we don't have a second spike. Right. And we have to make sure that we maintain the capacity of our healthcare system. We've done a great job to date. And I know that we want to relax as much as we can without going over that threshold. But I think it's really difficult, and I think the challenge is that no one really knows how much you can let your foot off the brake and not bump it too far. And that's the process that I think that everyone is going through and the debate that everyone is having.
Can you tell us a little bit how testing is going and how the county is going to expand testing?
Yeah, no, testing is vitally important. It's one of the, it's involved in, there's six indicators that kind of get you to that next phase of reopening, and testing seems to be the overriding issue that we need to continue to advance. You know, was it last weekend where they were really starting, there's a priority one through four of who you want to test, starting obviously at the top and then working your way down to the bottom. There, obviously the capacity is an issue, and it had to do with sterile swabs. We did buy, you know, 1,000, 10,000 or more of our own, and we have a huge order on place that we hope to get very soon of 100,000. Mm-hmm. But we had 480 over the weekend, so that's 240 per day. I think that was the highest number to date at that point in time. And then the state has come through with two additional testing sites, as yet to be determined, because typically what happens is that we end up doing the footwork for when the state puts these things through. But two more sites that will allow up to, I think it's 134 tests per site per day. So that's 268 plus to 240. Starts to get us in closer and closer to that range of getting over 600 a day, which we is the goal, between 600 and 800, so that we can have enough tests in all the different sectors of society there to really have a data point that we can have that information be useful and to understand what is out there in the community and then how we can take actions going forward. So we're getting there. We're not quite there yet, but I'm more optimistic now than I was even a week or two ago.
Yeah, and it is nice to see on socoemergency.org that the reported testing in the last 24 hours was 321 new tests were performed in the last 24 hours. So that is a jump. We are seeing the numbers of people being tested is going up. So that is a good thing to
yeah,
keep in mind.
Yeah, we just want to keep pushing that and making sure that we get the data back, you know, and then analyze the data to make sure that we could use it going forward to get to that next stage. So that is a positive thing.
And then finally, I do want to ask you about how law enforcement, whether they've been asked to come in for any people or businesses that are breaking health orders.
I think law enforcement, I can speak for the sheriff's department at least. I think they've been very, very good. They have, I know, talking to Sheriff Essek, they have made some visits on some places that shouldn't have been open. And I think that visit convinces the proprietor that they'll close down. Either they didn't know, didn't realize, or whatever reason. You know, I can't speak to how many citations have been issued, but I know that law enforcement is watching and law enforcement is taking it seriously, and they know they've been briefed on what can and cannot happen out there. So, you know, I think, again, in this county, you know, everyone has done a great job in sheltering in place, and we totally recognize the financial hardship that it is, not alone the psychological hardship for many, the difficulties involved, but it's working, and we just need to make sure that we do this smartly because we don't want something worse to happen and have to go back and do it in a more austere way even than what we had thus far. So, you know, the law enforcement is working hand in glove with health, and I believe that all jurisdictions in the county are doing a good job in terms of, you know, enforcing smartly the regulations that are out there.
Yeah, it really does take cooperation from all of us to get through this.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time on Sunday to talk with us. Thank you so much, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
That is Supervisor David Rabbit from the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. I'm Michelle Marquis. Tune in on Monday morning for continuing coverage here of COVID-19 and how it impacts us here in Sonoma County. Have a good afternoon. This is KSRO.